For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For he sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Welcome to Soaring Like Eagles with Minister Larry Bertrand and Prophetess Mary Bertrand. Please sit back, enjoy the show, grab your Bible, and get ready for a word of inspiration and praise.
We stand united for one God, yet divided by ourselves. Wondering why people won't come in completely. They see us broken, breaking each other. She did, he did, they did. Church hurt me. And the others standing outside looking through stained glass windows. They stand aching to come in, yet afraid because of how perfect we look. We ain't perfect. We look good being imperfect. As we slug others on the inside, blazing their imperfection while failing to identify our own. Hey, I'm guilty. I could say thank you, Jesus, over and over again for forgiveness for forfeiting the unfortunate choices of one I call my church family while they outside look on the inside through stained glass windows. Nearly dying from outside hurt while church hurts kills us on the inside. They desire to enter, but they stay looking through stained glass windows to what safety appears to be love. Hopefully agape, yet Philo raises its hands, many times screaming, "Notice me, yes, I love you." It's nice, cute, and necessary, for if I say sister or brother, then I must love you as such. Eros is there too, waiting for marriages or affairs. Yeah, I said it. It's real in the church. Storge love, like mama, daddy, uncle, auntie love, that's there too, but hopefully agape stands at attention, the highest love, his love, in fact. If we truly had this love, there would be no negative impact. Love breeds love. Iron sharpens iron. And we, many times, use neither and end up spiritually killing each other and them, the outsiders, looking for something real, wanting, needing something real. But so many times, it's just the world all packaged up real pretty, just looking like church. But offering the same rejection, and it's called church hurt. Hurting hurt people, preparing them to hurt others. You remember your first time? I'm speaking to my church folk. The first time you church hurt someone or got church hurt. It hurts, don't it? Guilt on one side, betrayal on the other. Now we caught up on us and we can't even go get them standing on the outside. Hurting from the world. So they look through the stained glass windows, aching to grab what appears to be agape, storge, philo, or even eros love, when inside too many churches have none of the above. There's only brokenness of church hurt, covered in smiles, fake hugs, and Judas kisses. And when reality hits us that hurt church folk, out looks better than in. And some inside join them on the outside, looking through the stained glass windows, and they ask their newfound company, "Hey, what happened in there?" And they said, "Too much hurt inside." At least I know what to expect out here with you. And the outsider said, "My God, what type of love is this?" And the insider said, "Painful." said window, and find another one, hoping to hurt no more. Something has got to change. When does the hurt stop? There are people outside waiting to come in, but they are not persuaded by the perfection that appears to be, because they recognize the same hurt that lives in them on many of the church folk faces they see. So finally they keep walking in search for agape outside of the church. Something has got to change. God's people cannot keep hurting each other. We are losing too many of them, looking through stained glass windows, which are only stained because we slaughter each other spiritually. Dear Father, please teach your children your agape, because that's the love we truly need to give.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank God for that agape love, right? Amen. Agape love is the unconditional love, amen. And the type of love that God has for us, if we just reflect back to just yesterday, was Resurrection Sunday, amen. We actually celebrate the day that Jesus actually died on the cross and rose again for our sins, amen. What type of love is that, amen, that somebody that he would die on the cross, amen, just for us to be able to live, amen, to really give your life, amen, amen, so that somebody else can have life, amen, but that we can have life more abundantly, amen, that we can have more eternal life, amen, and that's the type of love that Jesus has for us, amen, and I think that so often we forget exactly the sacrifice that was made for us, you know, on Calvary, amen. But God is good all the time. And I believe now I do have my guest calling in here. We got none other than Pastor Kirsten Hines on the line tonight. Man, how you doing today?
Oh, man, I'm doing good, brother. How you doing, bro?
I'm blessed, man. I'm blessed, man. So glad you had an opportunity to call in, man. You just actually diving into agape love and talking about the love that Jesus had for us, you know, so much that he even gave his life, you know, so that we can live. And, you know, when you think about agape love like that, you know, I mean, my thing is, why is it that we don't show each other that type of love that Christ shows up? You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. Man, honestly, that's crazy you say that. I was just, man, it's crazy, bro. You know what? You got to get out of my head. I was just, I want to say a week or two ago, I was just sitting down doing a study on love and the love of Christ. And I wanted to present this love factor differently to the body of Christ. And so I started just, you know what I'm saying, thinking about all kinds of different things I've been through. I just started thinking about all kinds of different situations and circumstances. And the question that popped up in my head was, why is it so hard for us to love each other? That was the question that popped up in my head. Why is it so hard for us to love each other? And then God spoke back to me, and he said, because we're not loving with agape love. And I said, well, Lord, what are we loving with? And he said, well, there's different types of love. If you look it up in the Greek language, love has several different definitions. Some of the main definitions of love is eros, which is neurotic love. It's a lustful love. You know, a lot of people only love people lustfully, in the sense of, you know, they undress you with their eyes, or they want to love you enough to get something from you. You know, you're lusting after something. It don't necessarily have to be in a sexual context. Maybe that person got more money than you. So you show fake love because you're attached to their money and not to their heart. And it's crazy because I started doing a survey with our youth at the church, and I was like, man, okay, hey, let me ask y'all a question here. I said, how many of you, even if you got some money, but it might not be a lot, I said, how many of y'all would be with somebody because they got more money than you? And everybody's hands shot straight up in the air. And so I said, wow. I said,
yeah.
Even at a young age, our children are not learning the love of God. They're learning the love of lust. They're learning erotic love. They're learning eros love. They're learning lustful love. And nowadays, it's scary because the only thing that seems to be attracting God's people outside of the word is money, drugs, women or men, you know? And if we don't start teaching the agape love, which agape love is the love of God, but here it is, don't miss this, it's the love of God that's within us. Meaning if you got any God in you, you ought to be able to love people through their mess.
Exactly.
See what I'm saying? Yeah?
Exactly. Unconditionally.
Yes,
and you know what? It's funny when we talk about the lustful love, but one thing too that I'm beginning to notice too is that a lot of people are going into full blown marriages off of a lustful love.
Yes, sir.
You know, I think it's kind of crazy. But I think sometimes the thing is we get so lost in that lustful love that we don't actually realize the agape love and what agape love is.
Man, that's a true statement right there. And a lot of people I'm going to be honest with you. For those who may be listening, I'm an open pastor, meaning I've been delivered from my past, so I don't mind sharing who I was and then testifying on who I am. Amen.
Amen.
So I used to be that guy, man. Coming up in college, being in Prairie View, man, you know, I used to be that guy who was like lust, crazy. Yeah, I can preach about that because I was that guy. And I found myself, man, I can't tell you no lie. I found myself, I've been engaged 3 times. You know, we talked about this in our little trial.
Right.
I've been engaged 3 times, man, and I found myself asking God, why didn't it work? And honestly, at one point, I was, and well, twice, I have to be honest, two of my fiancés who I was engaged with, I had to actually ask God, what was I doing wrong? And God was telling me, because I had my own money, so I knew I wasn't with him for money. I had my own career, so I knew I wasn't with him for my career, but God told me, he said, you're with these people in your heart for one wrong reason. I had two fiancés, man, I can't tell you no wrong, and anybody ever say they did this, they going straight to hell. Let's just be honest. I had two fiancés, bro. My standards, I had a standard where I said I wanted a fiance, I wanted a wife who would match my hustle. Meaning, I wanted somebody who would be on the same level as me, but she can't be good. She has to be bad, you know. She has to be, I mean, body has to be banging. And I realized that was a, I mean, hey, let's just be honest. I realized that was a form of lust for me. Because what it was, I was lusting after the physical look of somebody.
Right.
Instead of the spirit of the person. And so it didn't work for me twice because I felt like she had to look good to make me look good. Couldn't know anything just give with me. And then the crazy part was this, I had people I talked to who were friends or when I was single, they were, you know, kind of showing interest in me. and they were saying things, you know, like, hey man, let me pray with you, blah blah blah. They were showing the characteristics of a good spiritual partner. I didn't want that. I wanted the bad girl. I wanted the dime that's top of the line. Cute face. Come on, you know that, bro.
Yeah, you know it. Right. Exactly.
So I found myself even in trying to go into marriages. And I'm glad God shut it down because he was teaching me a lesson. But I found myself even trying to go into a marriage, lusting after something. And so now where I am now, I'm consecrating myself for my consecration life message is simply, God, whoever you're going to send to me now, I don't care what she looked like, I don't care what she's been through, but if she's designed for me, let me love her to the end of time.
Amen. You know, my father in the ministry, I remember I always use his marriage as a testament to marriage because it's one of the first ones that I've seen, you know, work for so long. You know, even with our parents, you know, my mom was blessed enough to be married again, but I know my parents didn't work out, you know what I'm saying, as far as marriage goes. But one thing I realized is that they were both married before as well, but when they found each other, they said that God told them, you know, that that's the one. But above that, it was like, you know, when God said it, they weren't even physically attracted to each other. And they were both admit, like, it took me a while to actually be physically attracted to my wife. But because God said that it's the one, I'm in it. You know what I'm saying? And that's how it was for them. It's okay. God said, this is your wife. And they looked beyond physical attraction and found love in each other because God told them that they were the one for each other. And I think now that's going to bring about 20 plus years of marriage right now. So I think that, you know.
That's beautiful right
there. Yeah, it really is. When you actually follow the will of God in your marriage, you know. And one thing about it, too, is that I remember when I was going into my first marriage and I was in premarital counseling. One thing that my pastor told me to say at that point was, when you tell her you love her, tell her you love her like Christ loves the church. And and I do that now, even with my fiance. I'll be like, I love you. She'll be like, I love you more. And I'll be like, no, it's impossible. And she'll be like, why? How is that impossible? And I'll be like, because I love you like Christ loves the church. And then she'll be like, oh, okay, you know, you can't really come back after that. You know, you ain't got nothing to say after that, right? Because we have to realize how great it was, the love that Christ loved the church, right? Now, you know, Christ had his moments with the church, you know what I'm saying? Christ got upset with the church a couple times. He, you know, that one time he had to go in and throw some things around, right? But still, though, that love that he had for the church was unconditional. You know what I'm saying? And that's the way that's the way the Bible calls for us to love our spouse.
Right.
That unconditional love is the way that the Bible calls for us to love our spouse. But I think oftentimes we forget that that's what we're entering into when we get up there and we say the I do.
Right, right. Right, man. And go ahead, Doc.
And I believe too, like, if you're not honestly able to say, hey, I love you the way that Christ loves the church, you should take that time and really reevaluate, is that the person that really God has designed for you to be with?
Right.
Because honestly, and you know, me and Mary say it all the time, there is no divorce. You know what I'm saying? We're going to be together. We're going to make this thing work. And, you know, we know that it's going to be trials, it's going to be tribulations, it's going to be things that happen, there's going to be things that we go through. And matter of fact, we say it all the time, we've been through things now in these 2 years we've been together that other couples who were together for 5-10 years have broken up over. You know what I'm saying? But we've always stayed strong in our relationship. And that's the thing,
right,
too. We've got to the point where we're like, you know what? Hey, ain't no end in this. Ain't no end in this. Ain't no divorce. You know what I'm saying? That's what we and that's what we stand on.
And then that's honestly what you have to stand on. because, you know, growing up, even me, man, I've had a model couple to look after. I've watched my grandmother. I watched her growing up. I watched her and my grandfather love on each other. I'm talking about inseparable love. Sometimes they just needed not to do some stuff in front of me type love. I'm just being real. Grandma, if you listening, you know, just tell me like it is. But I watched how he loved her, man. I made an example with a friend of mine. We was just talking about love and choices with picking a partner. And I told her, if a man can't love you like my grandfather loved my grandma's cooking, I said, he ain't the one. And she's like, what you mean? I said, man, my grandfather, I said, even though it was some stuff that he didn't like that she cooked, I said, he knew to hype her up because he didn't have to spend money on fast food or going out to eat. I said, but at the same time, I said, he really, really loved her cooking. It was just some dishes. He was just like, baby, don't do that no more, you know, because he loved her enough to tell her the truth. He loved her enough to tell her the truth, but he really, like, I'll never forget, man, one day, one of his favorite dishes, man, that she made, she had made some pork chops. I'm talking about these are some thick, juicy, I'm talking about poaching head, NyQuil pork chops, man, and, she made some pork chops and green beans, mashed potatoes with gravy. And he went in the kitchen. He was like, ooh, baby, you cooking today? What you cooking, girl? Girl, you look so good, too, in here cooking. And he went around and he touching everything on the stove. Ooh, you made some green beans. You know I love them green beans. Did you put that season I love on them? And he went to the mashed potatoes. You made and you made gravy? Oh, girl, you trying to. Girl, what it got up to see you? And he'll be loving on her and kissing on her, you know. And she just sitting there buttered up and smiling. And she'll fix him this big old grand plate. He called it the preacher's plate. You know, my grandfather was a preacher. He said, get my preacher's plate. And she'll fix this big old plate. And me, I'll be the one that be throwing salt in the game. I say, Granny, you know Papa just buttering you up, right? You know, just, you know, he just bothering you up. What you sitting there smiling for? And she said, I know he is, but I just can't help it when he talk good to me like that. She said, and guess what? Wait till you see what I make for him tomorrow. And I said, if his love can't make you routinely continue to do stuff like that because it makes you feel good, I said, it shouldn't work for you. It's just not going to work because love, like you said, it's unconditional, but love is also a gift. It gives, if I can say it like this, love gives joy where there's sadness. Love gives hope. Love gives hope where there's disbelief. Love gives energy where you're drained. And when you're with somebody, that's what agape love honestly do. That's why that's why the old saints used to say, he's bread of heaven, you know, feed me till I want no more. He's water when I'm thirsty. He's strength when I'm weak. You know, he helps me stand when I want to fall. That's what agape love is. It's a love that gives, it's a gift. It gives back into you. Wherever you lack it, it gives back into you. And really where the church is falling off sometimes in our lives is that we're not practicing love as a gift. We're practicing love more so. As an option, and if you allow me to dwell in that for a second, you know, I don't want to preach on you on the podcast, but we're making love an option because we're telling the saints, you know, you gotta love everybody, but we classify everybody as those who love us, which that's another definition of love in Greek. It's resilion. It's a reciprocal kind of love. It's a love that say I love you because you love me back. But that's the love we can't practice because Jesus told us in the Bible, he's declared that you got to love your enemies and do right to those who misfitly use you. Pray for those, you know, you got to love on those who don't love you. Because if you don't show love, how can your Father in heaven love you? The Bible said, if you can't love your brother whom you see, how can you love your Father who you can't?
Right. And, exactly.
And so we have to, agape love is a gift. And the reason why I know love is a gift, I hate to say it so clichely, but John 3:16, for God so loved the world, what did he do? He gave his son.
His only begotten son. Right.
But
exactly.
Here's the shout right here, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Before John even mentions it in John chapter 3, verse 16, that he gave his begotten son, Jesus was already predestined in the Old Testament through the throne of David.
Mm-hmm.
So,
exactly.
What are you saying to me, Hines? Jesus was a gift before his time actually came, which says to me, I got a gift of God way before I decide to find Jesus. He was already a gift to me.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of love we got to show people. You got to even have a love for people you don't even know yet.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Because you don't know who you're going to meet, and your love just might be the healing they need. That's what agape love does. It's the love of God within you.
Mm-hmm. That's so true.
It's the love that says, I know you just cussed me out, but I love you anyway.
Anyway, exactly. 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 And you know what? While we're talking about that love, I want to go in. I want to play a song for a minute. This song was by Pastor Denise Jackson. It's called Worthy. So let's go ahead and play this song.
Worthy.
Amen, amen. And again, that was worthy by none other than Pastor Janique Jackson. I wanted to play that song in the time as well, because I think that sometimes we have to realize is that we are also worthy. Amen. We are worthy of the love, of that agape love. We are worthy to receive that type of love. We are worthy to be loved like that. I think that sometimes we don't realize the type of love that we deserve. And I think that we start settling for something outside of that love. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, man. We got to know our worth in love as well, man. You know, that song couldn't have been more on time.
Amen.
There's a worth with everybody in love. There's, you know, a lot of men actually don't know that they have a worth in finding love, as well as women. Yet the woman should know her worth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they always describe the woman as the proverb woman. And I actually flipped the script on the church, because many people don't know that, yes, that is a model after what a woman should be to her husband. But it's also a model to what a husband should be looking for in his wife. Because if you read that scripture right, it was the king's mother who left that prophecy of what his wife should be and how she should qualify for him, for her to order to be his wife. In other words, she was teaching a young prince not only how to be a king to his wife, but how to find a queen. So it is worse in a man finding love as well as a woman. So, you know, we have to all realize work both ways. You know, I made this decision from now on. You know, some people like to celebrate Valentine's Day, and some women consider it that it's just a woman's natural holiday. But I said, I want my roses too. You know,
amen.
Give me a box of chocolates, you know, because everybody has work, and so even in love,
right,
everybody has work, you know, like.
Yeah, definitely. And when we talk about just the worth, amen, we have to realize just exactly what our worth is. I mean, in thinking about the fact that, yes, Jesus did die on the cross. I mean, get something for the time. Stay for me. You know what I'm saying? Get personal with it. You know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, he died on the cross for you. You know what I'm saying? He died on the cross for me. He died on the cross for every last one of us. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes we have to remind ourselves just how wonderful we are. Amen. The Bible says that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Amen. So sometimes we have to realize just how wonderful we are. Amen. In order for us to actually know exactly what our worth is. So it was so wonderful that Jesus died on the cross, that God gave his only son to die on the cross so that we can live and live life more eternally. Amen. I mean, that's just the type of worth that we have in us. That's how much God loves us. Amen. That he loves us that much in order for him to give his son to die on the cross for us. And when we think about that type of love, when we think about that type of worth, we have to realize that we can't settle for anything, you know what I'm saying, for being treated any kind of way. You know what I'm saying? When you realize that, you can settle for somebody who's not going to treat you like the king or queen that you are. You can't settle for somebody who's not going to tell you your worth every day. You can't settle for somebody who's going to degrade you or put you down. You can't settle for somebody who's going to smack you around like you're a punching bag. You can't settle for somebody who's going to mistreat you and abuse you. You won't settle for that when you realize exactly what your worth is and who God made you.
Exactly.
God said it's the head and not the tail.
Come on.
Right?
Like Come on
above and not beneath. The lender and not the borrower. You know what I'm saying? This is what God said we are. So when we claim that and we believe in that,
we then will allow ourselves to just be treated any kind of way.
That's right, man. And here's the crazy part to it, too, Doc.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine when you know your worth, how powerful you would be if he found out, ladies, you didn't give it up on the first date. Imagine how powerful you would be, man, when you knew your worth, that when she expect you to always answer all her phone calls, you didn't. See, there's a balance. God said that we should be equally yoked, meaning there is an expectation for you that also goes for me. Meaning, watch this.
Mm-hmm.
If you expect me to answer all your calls, baby, you need to answer all mine. But see, when people start realizing their worth, they start recognizing narcissists in a relationship.
Amen. Amen.
A time we've come to now is that we have more narcissists that's starting off blinding people with love. And how they do it is they give you all this attraction and all this attention, but meanwhile their intentions with you was only sexually. I'm talking to those because this is not just for women, this is for men too. Because there are some men who've been used for sexual content. Are their intentions with you were for your money? Are their intentions with you were for the house you got? Because they don't have one. You have to know your worth. And you have to know it not only in the physical, but you got to know it in the spiritual realm as well. Because when you use that discernment, you'll be able to rise up within yourself and gain the proclivity. Hey, man, this person trying to use me.
Exactly. Come on now.
And
come
so
on.
You got to find that worth. You got to find that value. I'm talking to you. If you hear me, I just want you to tune in, turn your radios up, turn your phone up, whatever you're listening on right now. But I want you to know there is value in knowing your worth. Because when you know that, when you get that worth, when you obtain that currency that we call, watch this, love. When you obtain that currency, love pays you in faithfulness. But you got to know worth first. You got to know the value of who you are. I even go as far as tell you like this. I had a sit down talk with a young lady who's like a sister. We've been knowing each other since high school. And we had a sit down, and she asked me a question about this young man who she was interested in. And she asked me, could I, as a pastor, sit down with the both of them? And she wanted me to evaluate if he was the right one for her. And so I did it. You know, they told me. Now, I'm going to tell you how slick I was. She told me, she said, don't even worry about paying for dinner. I'm going to pay for you. Now, I'm a big man. I ain't going to turn down no food. So I said within myself, I said, okay, cool, that's fine. You know, we can do it. So the entire time, I just put up good conversation. I got to know the fella. And we laughed and all that. And then after the dinner, I was just a little bit up the road. She called and she said, so what you think about him, you know? And I said, oh, I wouldn't even examine it. She's like, what you mean? I said, because how you view this man and how you value him should not be predicated on what I think. What are you saying to me, Hines? Another reason why we don't know worth and value within love, and why we cannot discern whether this person is using us or actually true to us, is because we're placing our perspective into other people's hands.
Come on.
I'm trying to, but they ain't saying nothing. We gotta stop calling on Tyrone and Tiffany and putting gossip and mess and ideas out there. And Tyrone and Tiffany don't know nothing about commitment or loyalty. The crazy part is many of us trying to find love, and we talking to people about love we trying to find who don't want love at all.
Come on now.
That's why when I need counsel, if I need counsel and love, I find somebody who's been in love and they still in love. And if I can't get it from somebody who's been in love and still in love, I go talk to love.
Yeah.
The only other person who can tell me about love is the one who is love himself.
Exactly. Exactly. I know from myself, man, when I was in my first marriage and that marriage started to fall apart, I remember I called up her grandfather. And she was actually raised by her grandfather. So it was more like the father figure of her life. So I called him up because, you know, I'm like, he knows his daughter, right? So I called him up and I was talking to him and I'm like, look, you know, I know you know I love your daughter very much, but this right here is just not working.
Right.
And he told me, as honestly as I've ever heard anybody say it before, he said, look, son, when you married her, she was not ready to be married. She was not ready to take on the roles, and she wasn't ready to take on the responsibility and ready to carry everything that it takes to carry in being a wife.
Right.
He said, with that being said, you can do one or two things. You can wait, and maybe one day she'll grow and she'll mature, and she'll be the wife that you always wanted her to be. Or you can leave now, and you can find somebody who's already there.
Right.
And then, so when that was said to me, I realized that I'm not going to just hold on and wait forever in hopes that it's going to change and get better. You know what I'm saying? I was like, you know what?
Right.
Let me just take this. Let me count this L. You know what I'm saying? And then let me go ahead and, you know what I'm saying, see if I can find somebody who's there. But I then, in realizing that, that's when I had to, you know, have my examples. Okay, here's what I need. Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Here's what I need in a woman. I had to realize then that I can't settle for anybody less than the Proverbs 31 woman that the Bible is calling for. You know what I'm saying? That the Bible is calling for. So I realized that it was for me to look for that Proverbs 31 woman. You get what I'm saying? I remember when I was married to my first wife, I was so often trying to get her to be the Proverbs 31 woman. As a matter of fact, I remember I sat down sometimes and said, babe, look, the Bible in Proverbs 31 says this. A wife does this. You know what I'm saying? And I remember I was trying to get her to become that. But what I realized I had to do was to look for somebody who was already there and who already possessed the qualities and the traits and the characteristics of a Proverbs 31 woman. I had to stop trying to build somebody up to that and get somebody who already understood that. And that's dynamic, Doc.
Yes, sir, dude. That's more than dynamic right there.
I think so oftentimes people show us their color, but we grab the crayon box.
I like that, Reverend.
People are showing us their color, but yeah, we still gonna grab the crayon box because we think they can change. We think we can change the color that they already are. Amen. When somebody show you their colors, believe them. Amen. When somebody show you who they are, believe them when they showing you who they are. Stop trying to change them, because the thing is, it's not our job to change anybody. Only God can change people, right? But at the end, he can only change people that's ready to be changed. Amen.
My God.
If that person's not ready to be changed yet, all they're going to do is run away from the will of God that God already has for them. But it's not our job to change anybody. So we need to accept people as they are. And in accepting people as they are, if somebody shows you this is who they are, believe them and stop thinking, oh, they're going to change. It's going to get better. As a matter of fact, when we get married, I know they're not going to still act like that. If they're acting like that when they're dating you, why wouldn't they act like that when they marry you?
Come on.
In the courting process, amen, you're supposed to be showing each other what it is that you have to look forward to when you get married. That's the point of courting somebody, because it's showing them, this is who I am now. Are you going to take me as I am and marry me? That's the point of courting somebody. That's the courting process. So in courting that person, if you realize that this person has flaws and have things that you can have hang-ups
that you cannot deal with, you need to make that decision right then. You know what? I need to move forward.
Yes, sir.
But we think we can change somebody. And when we think we can change somebody, that's how we always fall. Because I remember before I got married, when I was only engaged, my friend told me the realest thing, and I didn't pay attention. But I was told him, like, man, we keep arguing over the minor things. The littlest things will cause the biggest argument. And he said, you need to ask yourself, is that something you're ready to deal with for the rest of your life?
Wow.
And the thing was, Doc, in my mind, I'm thinking, I'm not going to have to deal with this for the rest of my life. It's only right now. She's depressed because of the wedding. It's going to get better and everything like that. But then by the time the honeymoon came, we were still arguing over the minor things, because the thing was, that's what was in her to begin with. And I was thinking, it's going to change. It's going to be different. It's going to get better. Just wait. No, the thing was, I had to realize this was the person who I was with from the jump. And I need to stop trying to change this person and let this person be who they are. It's somebody out there for everybody. You
yes,
know
sir.
What I'm saying? It's somebody out there
yes,
for
sir.
Everybody. But I need to move out the way and let you find that person that's for you, who can deal with the things that you do and still be able to accept it and love you anyhow. And then I need to find somebody else who can deal with me and the way I am and the things that I do and love me anyhow. You know what I'm saying? I'm not perfect.
Yeah.
Although I like to think I am sometimes. But I'm not perfect. But the thing is, you know what I'm saying? I was able to find someone who said, look, I know you're not perfect. I know you do this, this, and that, and the third. But you know what? I love every part of you. And then it's the same thing with my fiance, man. I know she's not perfect by a long shot. I know she does some things that might get on my nerves a little now and again. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes I might get a little irritated. But at the end of the day, I love every part of her.
Yes, sir.
So I think that's really major, man, and really understanding that. But our time is about to be cut short here on the air, and I want to give everybody the opportunity to know exactly who Pastor Kirsten Hines is and where they can find you, Doc.
Oh, man. You can find me. I am the pastor here at Dr. Kingdom Come Worship Center. And right here in Marrero, Louisiana, just outside of New Orleans on the West Bank, which is the best bank. Amen. And the address is 7021 4th Street, Marrero, Louisiana. 7021 4th Street. That's the number 48th Street in Marrero, Louisiana, zip code 772. Listen, I'm just a basic, down to earth guy. I don't try to be somebody I'm not. I don't try to overexert you any kind of way. I'm the basic down-to-earth guy. I preach the word. I drive it. My main goal is to build God's people for the furtherance of the kingdom and for the furtherance of life, period. I love on all people, man. I'm laid back. If you catch me on a good day, Larry will tell you. He'll testify for me. I have you lying to you. I have you laughing to you, crying. I ain't gonna have you lying. I have you laughing to you, crying, man. But I love everybody, man, and if you ever get a time to come by and visit us, our service starts at 11 a.m. on Sunday. Right now with the quarantine, you can tune in via Facebook. Please go add me on Facebook, Kirsten Hines, K-U-R-S-T-I-N-H-I-N-E-S. You can watch us live on Facebook, or you can watch us also live on Tuesdays for Bible study at 7 p.m., I hope God bless
Amen.
You all. All of you all stay safe and continue to walk in God's love.
Amen. Amen. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in once again to another episode of Soaring Like Eagles with myself. Usually Mary B is with me, but she's not feeling well today. But I thank Pastor Kirsten Hines for joining me on the air today. Thank you so much, my brother. I appreciate it. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Remember, without faith, it's impossible to please God. But with God, all things are possible. Who cares? God cares. We love you all. Thank you all so much.
Amen.